blood we have had for us here in the last 24 hours, so we'll take that for granted. We thank you for who you are, we praise you for who you are, and thank you for what you have done in our life, here, standing around in the circle. We continue to pray that the Holy Spirit will show up and show off tonight. We will have total control and guidance and direction of our services, and at the end of the evening, may we say, that we hear so often, it's been good. Taste of the Lord. See how good you are. Thank you for the sisters. Thank you for the preparation that they have implemented and prepared for. And we give you all praise and honor. And you're all set.
Amen.
He wants to be first on that. We'd like to welcome you to heaven.
Hallelujah.
We're going to call your name, but before you enter, you need to get rid of all your bands. You don't want to bring it in.
He serves us.
The bride is not serving, but he serves us. It's beyond our imagination. And I think we could just at the moment think about it for a moment. Be just in the presence of the Lord, who is right next to you and who loves you. And there will be a little music until that music ends. We just think we are with the Lord Jesus all alone and yet all together with the saints and his banquet table.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Behold, I am taking your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with rich apparel.
No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength.
He who conquers shall have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
He who conquers shall have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
I am my beloved's and his desires for me.
For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord who has compassion.
I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore I have continued my faithfulness to you. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it.
Behold, I make all things new.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me.
He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. The Lord your God is in the midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love.
Fear not, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.
He that goes forth weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him.
The teacher is here and is calling for you.
Do not fear, only believe.
For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song.
As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you.
But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to thee. What I have vowed, I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord.
His way is perfect.
Thus saith the Lord, Hi, I am he that comforts you.
His banner will be his love.
I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth, and I will establish with you an everlasting covenant.
This one has been read, but it bears repeating. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. Revelation 3:20.
He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor.
And you and your people, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. We thank you, Lord Jesus. I thought that would maybe be a good time to just take in a little bit the scripture from the heavenly city, from the golden city, and what is all prepared. And I don't know if anything happened to you where you learned your one Bible verse from Revelation 21 or 22. It really, new things came into sight, even when you maybe read a little bit further. Does anybody want to share anything of this? I don't
know. Reading through it this afternoon, trying to ask the Lord which part of this, because there's so much in there. And the part that I often repeat to my son, who is nonverbal with autism, is the part that says he will wipe away every tear from your eye. And there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more mourning, no more death. And that one's special to me. No more autism.
Yes.
How that will be, that all the things that are hurting and hard, and they will all not be there anymore.
Yes.
he says, I will make all things new. I know that one day I'm going to be talking to my son. He's going to understand me. What are you talking?
May we ask you, maybe please, to read from Revelation 21, from the verses 1 to, I thought I leave away verse 8, but maybe it is not bad if we listen to that too, because it mentions in verse 8 the unbelieving, the cowardly at the beginning, and sometimes we are cowardly. So please read from verse 1 through to 8. Thank you.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, come down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for the husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God himself shall be amongst them, and he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying, of pain. The first thing have passed away. And he who sat on the throne said, behold, I have made all things new. And he said, write, for these words for faithfulness and truth. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes shall inherit their things, and I will be his God. And he will be my son. But for the coward and the unbelieving and the abundant and the murderers and inherited peoples, immoral peoples and the scorned and the indulgence and tear their lives, lives. Therefore shall be with the lace and armor, with fire and burn stones, which is the second death.
Thank you very much.
Excuse me, I wasn't prepared for that. I had to be at 22.
I just like it that you read it slowly.
Yeah.
You didn't think about it.
Yeah. So 22 is all for you.
And would you maybe please continue? But please, really, very loud, from 9 until 11, and then from 22 to the end of chapter 21, from 22 to 27.
And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seventh last plague came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I shall show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God had illumined it,
and its lamp is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their story, their glory into it. And in the daytime, for there shall be no light, no night there, its gates shall never be closed. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Thank you. Let me say just a little bit about the King of Israel. And Sister Domitilla, help me please. But I have asked quite a few pastors, and never any one of them has said, I taught that in my church. And we sisters have also more or less discovered it newly. We have not... I back up. When the Lord Jesus was condemned to death, it was by the Pharisees because he had said, I am the Son of God. And we Christians have all taken that. He is the Son of God, right? I think we all learned that. We all have that in our heart. At that time, when the Lord Jesus, when they put him on the cross, the Israelis did not, the Hebrew people did not have the authority to bring upon the death sentence on anybody. It was revoked, their authority, 30 years before, and they needed the Romans to fulfill that. So the Pharisees had to go to Pontius Pilate and bring Jesus and say he is guilty of death, and waited that Pontius Pilate would condemn him to death. He didn't want it first. But the first question he asked Jesus was, are you the King of the Jews? That was his first question. And if you read just from there on, from Pilate on, the whole, all the other judgments, you know, he was first at Pontius Pilate, first at Annas, then at Caiaphas, then at Pontius Pilate. He sent him to King Herod. King Herod sent him back to Pontius Pilate. Five times Jesus was in front of his judges. Five times. Because we judge so easily. But then he asked him again, and Jesus says, for that I am the King of the Jews, and for that I have come into the world, for bringing the truth and saying about the truth. And then Pilate did not want to condemn him, sent him to Herod, and Herod sent him back. And Pilate still did not want to condemn Jesus to death. But then all the people out there, and especially the Pharisees, probably said, if he says he's a king, we have only Caesar. And if you are not condemning him to death, you will be no friend of Caesar. And then he gave in. He wanted not, you know, to lose his job and his relationship with Caesar. But then on the cross, he made the sign in three languages, Jesus of Nazareth, now let's say it all together,
King of the Jews.
Now, have you ever heard in your churches, honor and love the King of the Jews? No, we haven't. And we have, first, all the Christians were Jewish people. You know, the Jews became followers of Jesus. So, Messianic Jews. And then they spread out into other countries, and then the heathens became Christians, and then they were in the higher number. And so we Christians have pushed out our Jewish brothers and sisters, and we have not acknowledged Jesus as the King of the Jews. If we would have loved him as the King of the Jews, we would have not persecuted the Jews. We would have loved his subjects. So I was so happy that you chose that song. You know, that you said we would like to sing that song. And here it is, verse 1. Thou art the King of Israel. David's royal son. And then in verse 3, the people of the Hebrews, with songs before we went, before God, before Yeshua, Jesus, Christ. Always when you read the word Christ, it means the Messiah. And therefore I thought, we have to sing it again. You sing it again. And now sing it with all your heart to the King of the Jews. And so this is a time of praise and worship, and maybe under your plate you like to get a booklet out, the King of the Jews. This we have to go to all your names. And because we are in the city of God, we would like to sing number 14.
14.
And you know, just sing your heart out. It doesn't say in the Bible that you have to sing beautifully. It says, make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise that we are in the heavenly Jerusalem.
Number 14.
Number 14, and we sing verses 1 to 5 and 7. 1 to 5.
1, 2, 5, and 7.
just sang in verse 7 about the heavenly Jerusalem. All heaven dances with you. Here is your dwelling place. You know, we never have to leave. Some of you have practiced a song about the heavenly Jerusalem. Would that be a good time to sing that?
Oh, yes. Awaken.
Doing my homework, reading Revelation 21, and I could just see immediately this music before me, the holy city. I have it here like that, and it was my mother's. She was a soprano and a soloist, and she had a lot of sheet music. And I went downstairs and went through it, and it was the very last one on the bottom, this whole stack, the holy city. And I think a number of you will, the older ones will remember it, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And it's really just comes straight from Scripture.
Also a very special cup. And for me, and I think for some sisters...
Speak louder.
Thank you. For some sisters, I think it was something new to take in, like the Jewish ancient weddings have so much to do with the Lord Jesus and what he did for us. And so, and Sister Natalia, you help me too, right?
Well, Karen can help you too.
Yeah, Karen, I said already. You go. So, if I'm correct, it's the Father who chooses, who chose the bride. You know how Abraham sent out Eliezer to get a bride for Isaac? And the Father chose the bride. Now just think for a moment. You are chosen by the Heavenly Father as the bride for the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. The Father in heaven chose us. Mm-hmm. It's Him. And then the Son, He wants now to go and get his bride, but that's not that easy in the ancient times. He could not just go and say, "Do you love me?" and then, you know, have her as his bride. He had to make an offer to the family, to the father. "Would you give me your daughter as my bride?" And in these days, it was a bridal covenant, and he had to write it out. And it was not a cheap thing. And then most of them got such a beautiful, and they framed it all there by the covenant. But it wasn't framed when the bridegroom came to the house of the father. He had it rolled up, and then he presented it to the father. The father unrolled it, took his time, and read it. And if he, the father, approved what the son was offering for the bride, then, is that correct? And later the bride framed it.
Ketubah,
right, thank you. And then the father went and got the cup. And filled it with wine. And now came the big moment for the bride. First the bridegroom took the cup the father gave him because he had approved. and then the bridegroom-to-be, he drank from it. And now he gave it to his bride, and that was the moment the bride could reject it and not drink from it. She was not ready, not prepared, and she had something to say. And when she took it, then it meant you, the bridegroom, drank from it, you gave your all, and I give my all for you. And if we think of the Lord Jesus, he made also a ketubah. It's the whole Bible with all the promises and all the gifts in here. That is the ketubah, the bridal covenant. He gave his whole life. That's then in the cup. He gave his own blood. His whole life. He couldn't give more. And now it's the bride. Does she take it? Does she drink from the cup? Does she want to give your whole life to the Lord Jesus? And when you have the next time communion, then you can think that the Lord Jesus gives this communion just to you. And when you get it, maybe you get it only in a little cup, then just imagine such a cup. Then if you take it, you take his blood, you take his all, and he gives his all for you. And this is, therefore, the communion is something so, so very special. If we think of that for a moment.
And but I think it was so special too when it said, somebody who explained said, you know, with that giving the cup to the girl was saying, I offer you my life, will you take it? And if she took it, she said, I accept your life and I give you mine in return. And so when we take communion, yes, we take his offer, but at the same time we say, yes, I accept your offer of your life and I give you mine in return.
Karen, you want to add something to that? And so now maybe, I don't know, Phyllis, would you be so kind and read to us from, we have a Bible reading from the Revelation books, all the gift stands. It was 22, I think, to the end. I think verse 12, I'm so sorry. Could you be so kind and hold this for a moment? Thank you. Yeah. From the 22, verse 12 to the end.
True. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers, and the sexually immoral, and murderers and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen.
Amen. Maybe we can sing out of the King Draws Near. We ask him, come, Lord Jesus, plenty.
Mr. Daniela, can I add something?
Oh, please, go ahead.
Because, you know, you read that in the beginning, or you said it about how Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, and that's exactly what the young man said. He will go and prepare a place in his father's house, and then he would come and get his bride. And I think we have heard that before, but recently I heard one more thing that I thought was so special. And that is, the question was, you know, she did not know when he would be coming. And it would usually take quite a while because the father decided when it was, the room was proper, otherwise he would have just quickly put something together and go and get his bride. But the father had to say when it was, the time was right. And so the question came up once in one of these books that I read, well, what did the girl do in all this time? You know, it could take a year or something before he came back.
Yeah.
And what did she do? And it was Jonathan Cahn, and he was saying she was preparing herself for the new life. But how? How was she preparing for a new life now that she would move away? By letting go. By letting go, not holding on to the old things or the things in her home, because that would soon be no longer. She would be thinking about her new life with her bridegroom and in her new home. And I thought that was so good also for us. We're still here. We're waiting for the bridegroom to come to take us home whenever his time is right for us. And how do we prepare ourselves for that? By letting go and not holding on to all these things here. And I thought that's very meaningful.
Yeah, thank you very much. That is very good. So, shall we sing 26? Come, Lord Jesus, blessed King. Sometimes the waiting, you know, was long.
Yeah.
Thank you.
you don't have to sing or say anything. Has anybody learned a verse from that song by chance, by heart, when you got that email to learn one verse of a song? Has anybody learned from that song a verse?
No.
You have? Yeah, you know the whole song. Anybody else? Has anybody learned a verse from number 28? O Father in Jesus, your child is prepared? No. Has anybody learned a verse from number 14? That's the last chance you have.
Which one?
14.
Anybody else?
Okay, we haven't interrupted him yet. We can still learn.
Very good.
Very good. They learned it, they just didn't quite memorize it.
Very good. Okay, so we sing now 26, right?
Oh, yeah, that's what we sang.
What?
We just sang 26.
28, maybe?
Now
we're going to 28.
Okay. What are you saying?
Well, we just sang 26, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. 28 is nice.
Thank you.
You know, soon it will be over here, and we all go to our rooms, we take our heavenly garment off, but I thought that when, and then the whole retreat tomorrow is over, and all this love that flows here, you know, maybe you are more on your own then again. But of course, you will spread the love to everybody around you. But I thought that booklet, The Bride of Jesus Christ, has so much in it. Did anybody get a lot out of it this afternoon?
Yes.
Was it a good reading?
Yes.
Now, we thought, we took some paragraphs from the booklet. Everything I have in my hand are all little paragraphs of the book itself. Somewhere this is written in the book. And this is typed out on sticky paper. And if you want to glue one in, you have just to bend a little bit one corner back and forth, and it will open up for you, and you can tear it apart and stick it in. But you're not doing your own booklet. So now everybody gives their own booklet to the on the right, to the next person.
I get mine.
But you must get your bag and take
my booklet.
Hold it all up. No, we can't take it from you.
Oh, sister.
Has everybody a book yet?
Mm-hmm.
Because the neighbor will write something in the booklet, and will glue something, yeah.
Or will glue, then we will take that together.
Both. Sister Namitila, you can go around and ask these.
I'm giving you my booklet. It's mine. Thank you.
Let me have
now, let me say this again. Everybody has now the booklet of the other person, right?
Yes.
You get it there. Okay. Does everybody have a booklet now?
Yes.
And everybody has not their own?
Yes.
Good. Now you remember who you got. Keep it there.
I'll try.
Okay. Now you're getting one of these and also a little rose.
Oh, you didn't tell me about that.
And both of them, but I gave you the roses.
You gave me some.
Good. And you can make a little sticker with the rose.
I'll go around again with the roses.
Okay.
Do they have to have a pen, sister? They ask.
Yeah, if you don't have a pen, I have a whole box.
Oh, well, good. So I don't have one.
Are we writing
on the sticker?
You first stick the note in. And then above or below, you say, "Dear so and so," from the one you got the booklet.
Oh, okay.
And you write a half a sentence or a full sentence in there what you want to say to that person. Natalie asked if some words were put down on purpose. They were prayerfully put down without looking at these things in prayer. That would be just the right thing that Jesus wants to give to that particular person.
I think they can put the rose wherever they like in the book, right?
Right. And then if you open the booklet in the back, clear in the back, you see it has a little pocket. There was glued in there for you. And you can, when you leave, stick your bridle cup in there. And also the word you got, the special gift of the Lord Jesus. And that means, well, you're still writing. Now you can give the booklets back when you are finished.
Yes?
This piece of writing a whole show.
Okay.
I was afraid I didn't have anything to say. You gave me a lot.
Also, let me say this again. This booklet, as you can see, with the jewelry and a gem, you are a gem for the Lord Jesus. And that's why we put this here in front. And the Lord really loves you so much. We have so many things received as a gift. I was in Germany and I got these little sparkle gems. And the sister said, "I don't know what you do with that." I thought, "I know." And everything you see here was done with great love. And then the tablecloth was just fitting when we had first planned it a little bit different, so we sit opposite of each other, then we would have not fellowship like that. So we needed a lot more tables than we thought in the beginning. And the tablecloth was enough. And the printer printed these cards for nothing for us. And the posters he also gave as a gift. Can you imagine? Because God loves you so much, he wanted that it would be beautiful. And everybody who has contributed, and the gold crown, and this comes from Israel. And all of it. And everything, yeah. And the grapes, you have to look hold the whole evening at them, but we have something very special still coming on the CD. And then we are so filled with all the spiritual nourishment that when you go to bed, you can have one of these. But let me say one more word to this little booklet. This little booklet is a treasure.
Yes.
And you know, sometimes we don't feel like brides. We don't feel like we are worthy to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Read this booklet. Read in it. You don't have to read from A to C. And there's also very precious chapters more at the end. What it means to be a bride of Jesus, it means also to comfort the Lord Jesus. Today, he's hated. He's hated so much. You and your family, you try to bring up your children and grandchildren to love Jesus, but there is so much that is against him, so much hate. And this is after his crucifixion.
Yes.
And so what it means, a bride of Christ, you gentlemen, just the same, that comforts him if you trust him. It means a lot. So the last chapters are more about that. That That's why we made the pocket in the air, that you would have it as a little treasure. Thank you.
There's another verse to that that says, I love Jesus, does he know? Have I ever told him so? Jesus likes to hear me say that I love him every day.
Oh.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Mm. Let's see.
I love Jesus, does he know? Have I ever told him so? Jesus wants to hear me say that I love him every day. Yes, Jesus loves us. Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus because he first loved me.
Yes. I wonder, before we do our last thing, if you would be so kind and read from here. Just this page.
Double
and,
page.
Yeah, and if you want to stop it earlier, you can. But and when she has read this, then we will listen to the tape, to the CD, and I hope it blesses you. And you can close your eyes if you want to. And then, what do you do then? Just stand up in quiet?
Yes, I think it is a very special worship choir. And so it will just leave maybe in silence. And
yeah.
And or sit for a moment and then.
Sit for a moment. Yeah. And then you have to leave the heavenly garments. At the exit there, but you get some grapes. It would be really nice if you can to speak as little as possible afterwards and be in silence, that this all can sink a little bit in. Also, this is only a little request if you can.
Sister Danielle, could they maybe bring their song sheet? We could do Deep Love in the Morning.
Deep Love in the Morning, I guess.
If you would bring their song sheets back in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
This is
her
and the Lord. From Revelation 7, starting at verse 9. After these things, when the servants of God were sealed, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?
And I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.